good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name's Milt Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, aka We Are ID3, and I want to thank you for taking time out to join us tonight. I know today this is going to be a right now word, a word in due season, a word that will ultimately change your life forever. If you make a decision from the very beginning to have eyes to see and ears to hear and open up your heart and say, God, I'm ready to receive a right now word of God that will ultimately change your life forever. Man, we have so much that we're going to jump into tonight. So we're going to jump right in the name of Jesus by first making our declaration in accordance to Isaiah 61:1. And it says it this way. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because it is the Lord who has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound. He says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. He says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that he might be glorified. And it says this, and they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Father, to you alone we give all the glory, the honor, and praise that is due your name. Father, I thank you right now that this is the day which you've made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I'm glad that they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I thank you that for this opportunity to preach your word tonight. Father, I pray right now that your word will go forth, Father God, with clarity, uninterrupted and unhindered. I pray, Father God, that your word has free course, that we would preach this word with boldness, with accuracy, and with clarity as we ought to preach it. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Father, I decrease that you may increase. Father, I pray that my tongue will be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of their hearts. As a result, Father, lives will be forever changed. Burdens will be removed and yokes will be destroyed as a result of the word that will go forth tonight. And I thank you for it right now. And I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Let us all say amen. Now and again, my name is Milt Jones. I am the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. AKA We Are RID3, and I want to thank you for taking time out to join us. Now, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, or man, I just checked back over the last few months, we've been on this topic about Lord, teach me how to pray. And we've been talking about Lord, teach me how to pray, and we began to lay the foundational works for that. So if this is your very first time watching us, we want to ask you to go ahead and scan that QR code that's up at the top of the screen to our podcast at Ignite to Life Podcast. Again, that's Ignite to Life Podcast, where you'll be able to hear this message and other messages that go along with it. But anyway, we've been talking about Lord, teach me how to pray. And then we begin to, once we talk, laid the foundations about Lord, teach me how to pray, then we begin to get into the practical points of prayer. And then last week we start talking about, you know, I've got a new attitude, and it's talking to you about who you understand. When you understand who you are in Christ, it changes the way that you approach God in prayer. But earlier today and throughout the week, I just been praying, and this kept coming up in my spirit. So we're going to jump right into the word tonight and pick up on part two of, if I was to give this message a title, the title would be the Practical Points of Prayer. I've got a new attitude, part two. And this is, was I was praying and spending time with the Father. This is the question that I heard someone ask. It says, what in the world is going on with all the situations and circumstances and, you know, trials and tribulations, and everybody's talking about a shortage here and a shortage there, and this crime is up and that crime is up, and people talking about, you know, climate change, and people, you know, have all these confusions about who they are and what they are, and all these things going on. What in the world is going on? And people said, man, if God is so good, why are all these things going on? And you know what the funny part is? God always has an answer before you ever had a question. And this is what he said to me to share with you tonight. He says, what in the world is going on? He says, if you go back to Habakkuk chapter 4 and verse number 1, he says, this begins to share with you how or what is going on in the world. He says this, I'm reading Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which says it this way. It says, hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel, or O people of America, or O people of Canada, or O people of Texas, or wherever it is you're located in the world. He says, O people, hear this word. He says, the Lord has brought charges against you, saying, there is no faithfulness. He says, there's no kindness, and there is no knowledge of God in your land. He says, he goes on to say, he says, there's no knowledge of God in your land. Now, a lot of people said, no, people know all kind of things about God. People may know of God, but very people have taken the time out to get to know God. When I'm talking about know God, I'm talking about you can know him intimately to the point where you, when you're just like Adam and Eve, when they was in the Garden of Eden, they was able to commune with God. They was able to fellowship with God. They walk with him in the cool of the day. And what most people have done is they reduce prayer just to 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever the case may be. And their prayer life is like, my name is Jimmy. Give me, give me, give me. And God says that is not having true communication and relationship with me. He says, so if you want to understand what is going on, he says, there's been no faithfulness, there's been no kindness, and he says, there is no knowledge of God in the land. He goes on to say in verse 2, he says, you make vows and you break them. He says, you kill and you steal and you commit adultery. Now, all these things come as a result of there being no faithfulness, no kindness, and no knowledge of God in your land. He says there, he goes on to say, he says, there is violence everywhere. And he says, and one murder after another. And then he goes on to say this in verse number 3. He says, that is why your land is in mourning and everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are disappearing. He says, when you ask the question, what in the world is going on? Why are all these things taking place? Why does it seem like calamity on the left and on the right and all these things are going on? God says, it's very simple. He says, there's no faithfulness. You're not being faithful to me. You're not having kindness towards one another. And he says, because there is no knowledge of God in your land. In a lot of situations, they try to tell God, hey, God, you take the back burner. We got this. We don't need you to take care of this anymore. We got it going on. And God says, that will never be the case. What he's telling his people, though, he says, to those who are my children, he says, you don't have to be concerned. And of course, to Luke chapter 12, verse 29, he says, you don't have to be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. He says, don't even worry about such things. He says, these things dominate these type of things, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to live, what I'm going to drive, what I'm going to eat. He says, these kind of things dominate the thoughts of unbeliever all over the world. He says, even though all these things are going on, even though all these things are taking place, he says, for those who are mine, for those who are in covenant relationship with me, for those who have become citizens of the kingdom of God, he says, you don't have to let these kind of thoughts dominate your mind. He says, you don't even have to worry about all these things. He says, because these things, even though these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, he says, but your Father already knows your needs. The Heavenly Father says he already knows your needs. He says, but this is what I need you to do. And this is the word we're going to pick up tonight. This is what God says I need you to do. He says, I need you to seek first the kingdom of God, or seek first God's governing influence impacting the world. That's what the kingdom of God is. God's governing influence impacting the world with his will, his thoughts, and his intentions. He says, seek first God's way of doing things above all else. So as opposed to running to this person and opposed to running to this and trying to get 5 jobs. My wife told me this week about somebody who has 5 jobs. And you know, and it's not uncommon for people to have 2 and 3 jobs. But see, when you're operating according to the world system, you will keep going to the world to try to seek and meet your needs. And what happens is you become so burdensome with trying to meet your needs, it pulls you right out of position to obey God and carry out the assignment for which you were created to carry out from the foundation of the world. And God says, but I'm telling you, and he's telling me to announce to the body of Christ to seek first God's way of doing things above all else, and he will give you everything that you need. See, you got to understand. See, he goes on and says, so don't be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. Turn to another neighbor and say, don't be afraid. And then point to yourself, say, hey, don't be afraid. Why? Because it gives your Father, your Heavenly Father, great happiness to give you the kingdom, or to give you his governing influence, or give you the ways and order in which he does things that bring about his will, his purposes, his plans, and intents. Do you see that? When you understand that the reason why things is going on is because there's no faithfulness, no kindness, and no knowledge of God in the land. But God says, but I have a way out for you, and I've already made a way of it if you're one of my children. And the way that you know that there's a way out, and then the way that it causes you to triumph is always seek first and foremost above all other things God's ways of doing things. And it's not hidden. It's not like God is hiding it, because if you really want to understand God's way of doing things, all you got to do is open up the Bible. Because in the Word of God, it will show you how God does everything that he does when you make his word the top priority. So you ask, if that's the case, if God already knows everything that's going on, if God already knows why all these things is happening, and he's already made a way and he's telling me and he's giving me instruction to seek first his kingdom, and then all these other things will be added unto me because it's his free will to give me the kingdom, then why is not all these things happening? And I asked the very same question, and this is what he says. He says, in order for people to experience the kingdom of God, or God's way of doing things, there's one thing that has to happen first. You must first be born again. You must be born again. Why do you have to be born again? Because Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, except you be born again, you cannot see, comprehend, or understand the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. You have people trying to figure out how does God do what he's doing, and they're very religious. I mean, they go through a whole lot of religious exercises and everything, trying to earn God's favor and trying to earn God's love. And he says, I've already made it available to you. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is receive it. See, the thing about it is, it's God's goodwill. Is he gets great happiness out of giving you his kingdom, or showing you how to operate according to the kingdom of God. But in order for you to understand how to operate according to the kingdom of God, or God's ways of doing things, you have to first be born again. Going to church without ever accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior will not cause you to be born again. Do you know I grew up in a Baptist church? And for years, I thought all you had to do was just be baptized. But I found out later that if you get baptized, yet you never made Jesus the head of your life, you went down a dry center, you came up a wet center, nothing changed, because the baptism is an outward demonstration as an internal witness of whatever is going on in your heart. When you said, Jesus, I make you Lord, what you're saying is, Jesus, you have the final say. I make a decision that I'm going to follow your way of doing things from this day forward. I used to think about, you know, what it meant to be holy. You know, people say, you got to be holy. You got to be holy. And I used to have family members, and they was part of, they were the holiness or whatever. And they used to wear these long white dresses and no makeup, and they didn't do their hair and nothing like that. And I thought that's what it meant to be holy, until I asked the Father, what does it mean to be whole? He says it means to be whole. It means to be whole in your spirit, whole in your body, whole in your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. Meaning that you're in agreement with, this is what the Word of God says. This is how I'm going to think. This is how I'm going to talk. This is how I'm going to walk. This is how I'm going to live from this day forward. I'm not trying to, one minute I'm going to be in the church, and the next minute I'm going to be in the world, or I'm going to see how close I can get to the world and still, you know, be saved. No, I'm going to make a decision once and for all. The moment I say, look, Lord, I'm only going to come down here one time. And when I make this decision to make you the Lord of my life, I'm going to turn away from everything else. Now, does that mean you're never going to get tempted? I'd be lying to you if I said you would never be tempted. But temptation will come. But just because somebody comes knocking on your door does not mean you have to open it. That, my friends, is a decision. So you're saying, if all these good things is happening, if God has already made a way of escape, if he's already given me the kingdom of God and his good will to be give me the kingdom, and all I have to do is be born again, why is it not manifested in my life? And God says, this is the reason. He says, my people are being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. Now, some people get kind of upset when you say that. My lack of knowledge, I go to the church all the time. I read my Bible all the time. Just because you read it does not mean that there's three parts to it. And I want you to stay with me on this. There's three parts. The first part is to get the knowledge. Getting knowledge of God's word means you might be reading through the word. It's just a whole bunch of information until you ask God for the second piece. The second piece is to where you get understanding or comprehensive insight. Comprehensive insight means it's kind of like, hey, I got the information. I've spent enough time studying. I've spent enough time meditating. Meditating doesn't mean that you try to become in one with the universe. Meditating simply means that you're going to ponder it in your mind. You're going to think about it, and you're going to be muttering it over and over and over to yourself. Man, you said by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Okay, Father, you said that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And the more time you say, Father, I'm asking you to give me comprehensive insight, or give me understanding to what does this scripture, what is the reality of what this scripture is trying to say? And when you meditate and guess what? Then you will get the third piece, which is revelation knowledge, or you will get wisdom. So God gives you information or knowledge. He will give you comprehensive insight. And when the more you meditate on it, you will get the third part, which is wisdom. Wisdom is when you have the ability to apply what it is that you've heard. A lot of people hear a lot of different things and they've said a lot of different things, but very few people get to the third part where they spend enough time with the Word of God, where they get revelation of how do I apply this message, or how do I apply this word to my everyday life? And as a result of it, because they don't spend enough time with it, they are like the people here in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. They're lacking knowledge. I mean, they have information, but they haven't spent enough time with it, because after a little while, they reject what it is that they heard because it makes no sense to them. Ah, man, that don't make any sense. That, who in the world would ever want to say these things over themselves? How many people want to continue to say over and over and over again that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and they still coughing? It makes no sense. I'm a liar. But the Word of God says that God calls those things that be not as though they were. Abraham called those things that be not as though they were. It will seem impossible for him and Sarah to have a baby. He was 99 and she was 90, and it, medically speaking, it was impossible. But God gave them one word: I'm going to bless you with a child. And they believe what he said. They receive what he said. They begin to say what it is that he said. And they kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it until the day there was manifestation of it. And see, if you're going to understand how to operate according to the kingdom of God, you got to let go of this thing that a lot of people struggle with, even in the church. And it's called confirmation bias. What is confirmation bias, you may ask? Confirmational bias simply means where people have the tendency to process information by looking for or interpreting information that is already consistent with their existing beliefs. I give you a prime example. You know, when I grew up in the church, I believe that, you know, that, you know, because I grew up in a Baptist church, nothing against the Baptist if you're a Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist church and found out that, you know, you're not supposed to have any dealings with people in the world, right? That's what I thought, but I didn't understand all what that meant. All I remember is that's what you're supposed to do. So when I got born again, for real, and I stopped dating God and I got for real about it, I went to work. I worked in an automotive plant, and I walked in that plant for 12 hours a day. The only thing I would say to people who weren't born again was, hello. Other than that, I said nothing. And when people ask me the question, why don't you speak? Or why don't you talk to those people? Because I'm supposed to be separated from the world, until one day I got this revelation from the Father. He says, I need the same. I gave you the personality you have. I need you to use the same personality that you have with the word I have given you to be able to reach the people. You will never reach them by being standoffish. I'm too good. I don't want to get y'all sin on me. It does not work that way. What ended up happening was I had already a fixed way of thinking. So even though as people was telling me that's not the way you're supposed to do it, I was so biased on my position, I could not see it any other way. And that's what God says. A lot of times when you begin to start preaching about the kingdom of God, people already have preconceived ideas or existing beliefs. So when you start talking about the kingdom, they're like, ah, man, I don't want to hear that. Ah, man, they so-and-so said that, man, I don't want to hear that. Mess. I already know what it is, I believe. But ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, all of us can be wrong about something. But the thing about it is, the kingdom of God is what Jesus came to give back to the world. Now, what else about confirmation biases? When you have confirmational biases, you approach decision making largely, it might be unintentionally, but you ignore all other information except those things that already line up with what it is you believe. And examples of confirmation bias, you might be do selective searches. You might have selective interpretations. You might have selective recalls. He says, but all those things, what are those things when you have confirmational biases and you refuse to receive? Because I'll tell you right now, I'll tell anybody, fact check. Fact check means F-A-C-T, fact check. Whatever it is. That's why we always put up the scripture so you can read for yourself. So you don't think somebody just woke up one morning and had some had too much pie and they said, hey, you know what? I don't follow that. Now, I ask God also this question. Why is it that not more people are operating according to the kingdom of God, other than the fact that they are rejecting the knowledge because of their own confirmational biases? He said it this way. Jesus said it this way to his disciples. Because remember, Jesus always talked to people in according to parables. And this is what he said. He says this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. He says, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And Jesus replied to this. He says, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. He says, to those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given. He says, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. He says, but to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. What? He says this. He says, this is why I use these parables. He says, because sometimes people have ears to hear what it is that I'm saying. He says, so they'll get more understanding about what it is I'm saying. He says, but if a person has already made a decision, I don't want to hear that mess. Or I'm rejecting what it is that God's word is saying. I'm rejecting what it is the man of God or woman of God is saying. I'm rejecting what it is that the Holy Spirit is saying to me about this thing. He says, even a little bit they think they have will be taken away. He says, for they'll look, but they will not be able to see. He says, they will hear, but they will not listen or understand. He says, it's not dependent upon God whether you understand what the kingdom of God is. It's really what you do with what it is that you heard. And I'm saying all that to say this to you. According to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12, it says, whom the Father loves, whom the Father loves, he corrects. All of us have to receive correction. That's what the Word of God does. The Word of God is the only book that while you're reading it, it's reading you and it's showing you and highlighting for you areas in which you need to make adjustments or come up higher in this area or lay these things aside or this might be a distraction for you. And when you're reading the Word of God, what it begins to do, it begins to shine a light on your situation and circumstances, just like we said from the very beginning. When you're trying to figure out what's going on, you go into the Word tells you, hey, this is what's going on in that situation, but if you do this, then this is what's going to happen. He says, the reason why all these things is happening is because of this, but I've already shown you, if you seek my kingdom of God first, all these other things will be added to you. He says, but in order to do that, you got to lay aside your confirmation biases. You have to lay aside your pre-existing ideas of what you believe my kingdom is all about, what you believe being a follower of Jesus is all about, and come up with like a blank piece of page and say, Father, I am yours, ready to be written. Now, Holy Spirit, teach me how to do it. And the reason why we've been on prayer for almost 4 months now is because he says, my people do not know how to pray. He said, people actually come to prayer like this. He says, they come to prayer and they believe that prayer is a religious exercise. He said, but it's not a religious exercise. It's actually a petition or making a request. He goes on to say this word and how we got started with all this. Jesus one day was praying. And as he was finishing up, one of his disciples came over to him and said, Lord, would you teach us a model prayer that we can pray just like John taught his disciples? And he's teaching them, hey, I want teach us how to pray just like John taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus, when he came, he only taught about the kingdom, our God's governing influence impacting the world with his will, his purpose, and his intent. So when Jesus begins to teach them about how to pray, he's saying, pray this way or pray in this manner. Who are you praying to? Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Father, I pray that your kingdom, your governing influence come so that your will, your plans, and your purposes will be done in earth just like it is in heaven. So when Jesus came talking to his disciples, teaching them how to pray, this is how he began to teach them. Now, in order for you to really operate like that, and in what we was talking about last week about, I've got a new attitude, you got to change your focus. A lot of people have spent a lot of time looking at the problem that they never see the solution. So, you know, some of the things I found out when I was growing up is if people would say, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. And I was like, okay, I already understand all the don't do's. What is it that I can do? And what happened is people will be so focused on what it is they can't do, they never get around to doing the things they're supposed to do. And one of the first things the Father said that has to happen with his people, even when it comes to prayer, and why you will have a new attitude when you understand this, he says, you have got to change your focus. He says, because when you change your focus, you will change your future. And he says this in accordance to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. He says it this way. He says, since you have heard about Jesus and you have learned the truth that comes from him, he says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former ways of life. He says, stop trying to operate the same way you used to operate before you came into right relationship with him. Stop trying to operate in the same means before you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He says, put off that old way of life. He says, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Then he goes on and says, instead of doing those things, he says, let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, renew your thoughts, renew your attitudes. He says, put on your new nature. That's what happens when you get born again. When you get born again from above, the old, when you say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life, what happens is that old sin nature is removed and the Holy Spirit brings the new nature of the kingdom of God on the inside of you. And when that new nature is on the inside of you, what is it? It's created to be like God, truly righteous, and truly holy. He says, so if you want to live a successful life, if you want to have a life, you know, of success, and you want to have a life of future, and you want to live the fullness of your days according to the word of God, he says, you have to change your focus. He says, so you can change your future. In fact, one of the greatest things that Paul said this, one of the things that you hear Paul talk about the most, in accordance to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says that one of the things he worked on so much and the one thing he's trying to achieve is this. He says he's focusing on this one thing. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul says, I've had all these different accolades. I've achieved this. I've achieved that. All those things that I achieved before I came into a right relationship with God, a right relationship with Jesus, says, I count it all as loss that I might receive or understand this life in Christ Jesus. He says, so all those other things, he says, I forget what's behind. And I can tell you this, if you keep trying to pray today, based off of who you were before, you will be begging and pleading and crying and mourning. And all those things might get an emotion for people in the world. But in the kingdom of God, that doesn't work. God is not moved by your tears. And he understands your tears, but he's not moved. He can't be moved by your tears, because if that's the case, you could be crying all the time. I went to a church one time, and they was crying, and they was in prayer, and nobody, everybody was, you know, okay, let's get ready to pray. And when they got ready to pray, they said, "Oh Lord, oh," and I'm like, "What in the world? Oh Lord!" And they was just mourning and wailing and screaming, and all the and. As I stood there, I could see the Father's face. Or the Father, he began to weep. And he says, they don't know me. He says, because if you knew me, you wouldn't have to come to me and try to beg or plead with me in order for me to be able to answer your prayers. Because you're in right relationship with him, all you have to do is come. Our Father who is in heaven, Father, holy is your name. Father, I pray that your kingdom come and that your will be done. Because I know that I'm in right relationship with you, because I know I seek first the kingdom, Father, I'm praying that your will, your purposes and intents will be done. And you're not trying to use things of the world to try to approach a heavenly Father, because he loves you. He wants to spend time. Remember, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You understand, Jesus came to give you life. And according to John chapter 10, verse 10, it says he came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. It didn't say that you could have a burly get by, you know, begging and pleading and scratching around and got to lie, cheat, and steal to be able to get it. Nope. He says, Jesus was so committed to you having this life, the God kind of life that God made available to you, that he himself, as the good shepherd, he risked and laid down everything. He laid down his very life for you and for me, for all who will accept the free gift of salvation. Now, you can't earn this. He said this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, you can't earn this. He said, it's a free gift. He said, by grace are you saved through faith. He says, it's not a work. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. How do you receive it? All you have to do is receive the free gift of salvation. Why is it important for you to receive salvation? He says, because Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, except you be born again, you can't even understand, see, or comprehend God's way of doing things. So you will always be limited to how the world does things until you come into the way of the kingdom of God. When you come into God's kingdom, now it takes you up to a whole different level. Now you can operate into a whole different system. Now you can come up to, you know, on the world's level, you're at 3D, but in God's system, you're at 4D. 4D is so much higher than 3D, but the things in the 4D realm will directly impact how things operate in 3D or in the world's way of doing. I'm going to share this with you, and I have one more point, and then we're going to close. You got to understand that when Jesus came, one of the purposes why Jesus came was to destroy the works of the adversary. He came to destroy the works of the adversary. It says this in 1 John 3:8. I'm reading out the Amplified. It says it this way. It says, let me help you with this. He says, he who commits sin. Now, let me break this down for you. He who commits sin means one who practices evil doing. Means you're doing it over and over and over again with no intent on ever stopping. He says that person is of the devil. Or he takes on his character of the evil one. When you continue to operate according to the evil or committing sin, what happened is you're operating according to that old sin nature. That was the old sin nature you had before you received Jesus as your Lord. He says, you got to understand this, for the devil or the adversary, he has sinned or violated the divine law from the beginning. It says this, the reason the Son of God, or Jesus himself, was made manifest, or came into the world, was to undo or destroy or to loosen or to dissolve the works of the devil, or the works that the devil had done. Jesus came to redeem you. He came to redeem you from sicknesses. He came to redeem you from disease. He came to redeem you from poverty. He came to redeem you from spiritual death. In fact, it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that he paid the full price. He paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. Jesus took our place so that we will be redeemed. That word redeemed means to be rescued from loss. He redeemed us. That's why it says in Psalms 107:2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So say that about yourself. I am redeemed. You're not that old sinner saved by grace, barely making in. No. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You are an heir and joint heir. You're an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. And as a result of it, when you come to pray, you're coming with a new attitude. You're coming with a new confidence. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know why these things aren't working right in the world. And as a result, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. For it's God's good pleasure to give the kingdom to me, and I receive it. Now I'm going to learn how to operate according to that kingdom. I'm going to take off that old man. I'm going to put on that new man, and I'm going to be renewed in knowledge with comprehensive insight and wisdom that all come from God. And I know that I have a right to it because I've met the requirement. What's the requirement in order to operate according to the kingdom of God? You must first be born again. You must first be born again. And it's the easiest thing a person can do. So simple, a child can do it. In fact, it says this in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says it this way. It says, the word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Man, say this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Hey, even if you're born again, I personally always want to make sure I remind myself and the adversary and every force that I'm a child of the Most High God and I'm in right standing with God. So pray this prayer with me. Say it with me now and in Jesus' name. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, we want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you in right position, and welcome you back into right relationship. Now, what do you do now? Man, you got to do what we've been talking about all night. You got to learn what is the, seek the kingdom of God. Find out the, not get knowledge, comprehensive insight, and revelation on what the kingdom of God is and what it is all about. Man, we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Daylight Time and also 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd love to have you join us. But man, you also want to, if you can find a church in your local area that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, about the love of God and the kingdom of God, we'd highly recommend you to be able to do that, because every pastor needs a pastor. Every person needs a pastor. Why? Because a pastor, one of his job is to help you to grow in the knowledge of God, to grow up in the things of God, so that you can go about the works of the ministry. On behalf of Pastor Juan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us in here tonight. And remember this, seek first the kingdom of God above all things, and all these things will be added unto you. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.